Good morning and welcome to Grow Siouxland on this holiday weekend. I'm Christy McManamy, Director of Marketing for the Siouxland Chamber of Commerce. First and foremost, happy 4th of July from all of us at the Siouxland Chamber, and happy 250th birthday to the United States of America. What an incredible milestone for our country. It is our semi-quincentennial. And today on the podcast, we're going to talk about American history, what it means to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, and reflect on what this day means to those right here in Siouxland. But first, I want to say thank you to our producer, Justin Barker, back in the Powell Broadcasting Studios. This show, of course, doesn't get on the air without him, so thank you, Justin, on this holiday weekend. I also want to say thanks to our longtime sponsor, Chris Bogenreef of NAI United. Chris and our own Chris McGowan started this program roughly 20 years ago to make sure our community hears the stories of the good things happening in our community, because sometimes we don't always hear those things. So that is something I think that we can all appreciate. And I do want to say a special word of thanks to Chris McGowan of the Chamber, our longtime host of this program. If you listened last week to his interview with Dave Bernstein about Saturday in the Park, which is taking place today in Grandview Park, by the way, Chris mentioned he's handing the reins of this program over to me. So on behalf of the countless number of people he has interviewed over the years, we do owe him our thanks for sharing the Siouxland story of the folks who live and work and call this community home, that it really is the Siouxland story. So thank you, Chris, for doing those interviews over the last 15 to 20 years, and thank you for putting your trust in me, and I hope to do it justice. So on this 4th of July holiday morning, our guest today in studio is Marty Hogan. Marty is a military veteran, longtime service record in the Air Force and in the Air Guard. And for the last several years since its inception, Marty has been a volunteer at the Siouxland Freedom Park and has been very instrumental in many of the exhibits that are at the Siouxland Freedom Park that you see today. So without further ado, welcome to the Grow Siouxland podcast, Marty.
Thank you for having me, Christy.
So as we often like to do on this program, we let the radio listeners find out a little bit more about who our guests are. So you're a Sioux City native.
I am, yes. I grew up on the northwest side of town, just down from Briarcliff, over by Headington Park. Went to Crescent Park for grade school, Hoover for junior high, and then I graduated from West in 1983.
In 1983. Okay. And, all right, so in 1983, what was, when you were in high school growing up, tell me about growing up in Sioux City.
Oh, wow. Sioux City back in the day, I mentioned Headington Park. I spent probably more than half of my childhood there playing baseball, flying kites, skating on the ice skating rink when it was winter time. Growing up in Sioux City at that time, I don't think I had gone any farther than some of my relatives lived in Texas. We drove straight there, hung out, and come back home. Sioux City was pretty much the entire world at that time.
Absolutely. And for a lot of folks,
yes.
Growing up here in the Midwest, growing up in Iowa and in a tri-state region, did you go out on the river? Were you mostly playing baseball in the park? You know, what kind of things were the things that you looked forward to, because it is the 4th of July. So like, what kind of things did you do on the 4th of July growing up in Sioux City?
Sure. Well, I came from a really large family. So when we got together for, do you remember WOCO?
Yes.
WOCO used to do a fireworks show. We started at noon prepping our backyard for everybody to come sit there. And that was kind of our tradition. There was probably with the neighborhood kids, there's probably 30 kids back there, either in lawn chairs or just sitting on, the grass. And mom would pop popcorn, and we actually got to have pop, which was like a big thing for us. It was more laid back. It was all about the celebration. We probably didn't really understand that it was America's birthday so much, but we knew that the fireworks tied into that. And, you learn a little bit more as you get older. So, WOCO went away and those local shows went away. So, and everybody kind of started doing their own things in high school.
And if you think about that, but the gift and the beauty of childhood is you knew it was special. It was something that you looked forward to. And everybody came out, right? Everybody in the neighborhood.
Yeah, you know,
came out.
You had the whole neighborhood was there. And if they weren't in our yard, they were in their yard. You know, and it's one of those things now that I don't even know all my own neighbors and my, you know, we just moved and I lived in a neighborhood for 12 years. I knew like three people. And, you know, everybody's got a busy life. Both people are working. You know, when I was a kid, my mom was at home a lot. You know, we just knew the neighborhood more and, you know, and things like that, school, you know, they really pumped that. My fourth grade teacher, I'll give her a shout out, Miss Day.
Miss Day?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was actually Bud Day's cousin.
Oh,
and
wow.
She's
okay.
Still alive. She's 93. If you're listening, Miss Day, thanks for everything. And thanks for passing me on to the fifth grade.
Yeah. was that in question at any point?
No, I don't think so. I did like to talk. So I banged erasers a lot, I'm
there
sure.
There you go. Yeah.
But she used to, and I got my love of history from her. She used to come in period costumes. So she had Civil War uniforms. She had World War I uniforms. You know, and so like holidays like this, she would be talking about them all year. So, in that year, that was probably, I don't know, 75, 76. So it was close to our 200th birthday. And that was, I think it was the Freedom Train. I can't remember. Mm. As we were talking earlier, I think they were behind Walgreens over here. And I remember going through it. I just don't remember everything about it. You know, it's funny. It's like you think about that, and that was 50 years ago. And so I'm amazed.
What you can remember even 50
yes,
years ago is
correct.
Good.
And it was. It was, you know, there. I do remember there were interactive things. They had, I think they had like a facsimile copy of the Declaration of Independence, you know, and 11-year-old kids just going, wow, that's really cool, you know. And, you know, especially here in Sioux City, Iowa, I mean, you know, we had the Corn Palace that went down and, you know, we used to go to the museum and look at pictures of that. And, you know, you're like, well, all this cool stuff happened then, but we don't really seem to do anything now. And
well, and isn't it neat when a teacher can inspire you at such a young age to love history and love storytelling?
Yeah. And she was very adamant about it. I don't know too many kids in our class that didn't enjoy, you know, when she would give lectures on that type of stuff. You know, of course, at that time, you know, the teachers taught everything, but I think the history portion really set out more than anything else for me. You know, when math came around, I was like, okay, you know, kind of floating off.
I was going to say it set in motion maybe some events that have happened later on in life.
Correct.
So you're listening to Grow Siouxland on KSEJ 1360 AM 94.9 FM. We're talking with Marty Hogan on this 4th of July holiday, military veteran and longtime volunteer with the Siouxland Freedom Park. And we were just talking about, you know, historical loving history and some of those things. And I want to talk about a little bit because you went into the military right after high school. So tell me what brought you into the military. What was your path? Why did you choose the military?
Sure. I think it was probably a lot different than today. I think most of the kids today come in for educational benefits, especially in the Guard. Active duty, they probably joined to run away, which is kind of what I did. When I graduated, I was working three jobs. I worked at the Journal at night, worked at Green Gables during the day, bussing tables. And on the weekends, I worked at Roberts Dairy unloading milk crates for 12 hours a day. I just kind of wanted more, but I did that for a year. And, you know, after a year of working pretty much all day, every week, as I started talking to recruiters and I just kind of wanted something different. Talked to them all, wound up in the Air Force recruiter's office, went in delayed enlistment. I actually joined and signed the papers on my 19th birthday. I waited until May to leave, and that was the beginning of my military career. I got there May 24th of 1984. I left active duty in March of 88 and went directly to the reserves where I worked full time. I did that for 12 years. During that time, I'd got my bachelor's degree and a few other things, and I decided I want a little bit more. So I resigned my position there and moved home. Actually worked for the FDIC for about a year and a half. found out that sitting in a room with a bunch of accountants, I could be okay at it, but it was really boring. So I wound up going back in, and I got a full-time job out at the base, and I was there until I retired in April of 21, and that was my civil service position, and I stayed in the military until May of 23. So I had 39 years and one day when I finally retired.
So explain that, 39 years and one day. So first and foremost, thank you for your service, because four decades. You're looking at four decades. Explain the one day.
So the one day to me was, I don't know, I kind of looked at it. Everybody was saying, well, if you stay, you know, you can have 40 years in. It you know, at a certain point, it's just time to go. But the one day was just kind of like, okay, I finished out a full career and I'm taking one day for me. The cool part on my retirement ceremony is three of my grandkids were there. The oldest at the time was... she was 14, and the other two were 11, and, you know, and they sat through the ceremony. My kids bawled through the whole thing, and I'm like, why are you guys crying? Like, I'm supposed to be the one, and, you know, I was pretty happy to go. I accomplished everything that I wanted to, but, you know, when we're going back, the kids were quiet, and I said, what's wrong? How come you guys are quiet? And they said, I didn't realize you did all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, when they, you know, my son grew up in it. My son was one of the last children born in the Luke Air Force Base Hospital before I left active duty. So he's 38 now. And, you know, I mean, so when he was crying, I was like, you didn't even serve a day, you know? So.
But families of military families know full well. They, you know, there's a lot of folks, probably you included, that did not share everything, obviously, with your children or your spouse or, you know, the loved ones in your life. But at the same time, military families know very well the sacrifice and the service that it takes because they live it every day as well.
Yeah, and you know, you never really, you don't realize what a toll it takes on them. When he was probably three, and I was a single dad at the time, and that was right when Desert Storm kicked off. And I was in an A-10 unit, so we were a frontline unit. So I had a go bag by the door. We had a 36-hour call, and I cleaned the house. I've told this story once or twice, but I cleaned the house, and I put the bag in the closet. Well, you know, 3-year-old kid gets up in the morning, goes out and looks to see if the bag's there, and the one day it's not there, you know, and I hear this really weird scream, and I come running out, and he's like, I thought you left and didn't tell me.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, noted, you know. Yeah. So it may not seem like it affects them, but, you know, and through his life, I mean, I deployed a few times, and I was gone to long schools. I went to different things. You know, when you're gone for 3 or 4 months, it's, you know, it's a long time for a kid. You know, it's a sports season. It's half a school year. You know, when you come home, you're trying to fit back into that. And my two youngest are my stepkids, but I claim them. And if you guys are listening, yes, I do claim you. And, you know, their dad actually was in the Army Guard, and he had deployed a few times as well. So they got it from two different sides. Yeah. You know, and you just don't realize what that does to them. But, you know, they know a lot more than you think they do.
And on this Independence Day, this is a great conversation about freedom, not being free. And those different things. So when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to talk more with Marty Hogan about the little bit of history and putting some things into perspective, especially too with the Siouxland Freedom Park. So we'll take a quick break and we'll return with Grow Siouxland.
Are you looking to buy, sell, or lease commercial property in Siouxland? Call NAI United, the leading commercial real estate firm in Siouxland, serving our community for over 20 years. Connect with their experts, Bo Bronker, Nathan Connolly, Lawrence Jensen, Madison Craighead, Aiden Vanderloo, and Chris Bogenreve. NAI United agents are licensed in Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota, which means they can assist you regardless of your location. NAI United has commercial real estate solutions for you. Visit NAIUnited.com to learn more. For all your commercial real estate needs, call NAI United.
Welcome back to Grow Siouxland on KSCJ 1360 AM 94.9 FM. Happy 4th of July on this 250th anniversary of the United States of America. We're talking with Marty Hogan military veteran and volunteer at Siouxland Freedom Park about a lot of the things that we think about on Independence Day. You know, right? Everybody's, it's about fun in the sun. It's about the parties. It's about the fireworks. It's about the picnics, the barbecue. Saturday in the park is going on today. You know, there's so many great events as family and friends get together. But we would be remiss if we did not take a moment to talk about and think about where we have come as a country. And you and I were just talking in the break about trying to picture what it was like for our founding fathers 250 years ago to be brave enough to stand up to say, this is important and we need to be free.
Yeah, and I think people kind of neglect to remember these people weren't just, putting their reputations on the line. They were the signatures that are on the Declaration. Those people, when they signed that, they signed it in blood. You may not realize that it's ink, but if the things would have gone a little bit the other way, they would have been hung, executed, whatever they wanted to do at that time, but also their families, anybody associated with them, any place that they had meetings, all of those people would have had to pay the ramifications for that. So the dedication that goes into that, knowing when you go in and sign your name, there's no guarantee coming out the other side. I don't think many people would do that today.
And to think about that, when you talk about that in perspective, in 2026, most conflicts are not on our soil, correct? So, we haven't had a conflict on our soil in many, many, many years. So if you think about that, that's somewhere else, right? So there's a lot of people that do this disconnect because, oh, that's over there, that's somewhere else. But this was here. This was every day. This was their living, breathing it every day. And we want freedom.
Yeah, and our national interest at that time, if you want to use that term, was right here. Our biggest thing was we want freedom. We want to separate from England. It took a lot of very good thinkers, forward planners. The document that they wrote is still in use today. You wouldn't guess that sometimes. But for the most part, the ideas that they wrote down were trying to set a new society. It was a, for lack of a better term, it was a trial and error type of thing. But it's still going strong after 250 years. There's always a few ups and downs. But, I think if people would, 9/11 pulled everybody together. But then what happens is you get long-term war fatigue. You get up in the morning and you see something, and it just becomes in the background noise. So it always takes something huge like that to pull it together. I hate to see what the next one's going to be. But if everybody would sit back and go to hang out in their neighborhoods again, learn who the people are, kind of go back to our original values, I think things would change a lot.
When you put the people in perspective, I think that's one of the things, right? We look at politics or we look at things that are happening in the world and it's, or social media, or, who's chirping in your ear here and what you're consuming on all different platforms. Who's the loudest voice in your ear plays a big factor in that. I've seen news interviews where people talk about this being the worst country ever. And I keep coming back to, have you lived anywhere?
Yeah.
Because like when
I've walked in some pretty nasty places. So if they really want to go check them out, you always hear different things like that. And I think I've always thought of that when I was deployed and you're out walking around. I think the people themselves are more peaceful than the government. So you have to keep in mind it's government against government, not people against people.
Yeah. And it is we the people.
At the
end of it, a country is the people, the neighbors looking out for one another. And to move to the next 250,
right? It's still got to be people. Yeah, and as soon as we forget people, we're in trouble.
I think that's, you know, that the we the people thing, I think that is one of the things I would love to see schools come back to that. I know that they're saying the Pledge of Allegiance because all my grandkids are saying that's how we start our day. Whether people think it's right, wrong, or indifferent, you know, it's the first step of being an American is, you know, you pledge your allegiance to the flag.
And then we, the people of our neighbor, looking at our neighbors, how do we support our neighbors
Correct. In
our communities, our small communities, our rural communities, our urban cities, looking out for each other.
Everybody's got a job to do. They just need to do it.
Yeah. So just, I know we're running out of time here on the program, but I want to talk a little bit about the Siouxland Freedom Park because people who come into the doors at the Siouxland Freedom Park, you are reminded so much of the volunteerism, the sacrifice, and the service that has happened right from people in our own community, our own backyard.
Right. And our whole mission behind the whole thing is we want to honor local veterans. Everything that's in there was issued to or owned by a local veteran. Long story short, it's all about Siouxland sacrifice, and that's the entire three-state region. You know, we want to show our biggest thing is educating our children that these are the sacrifices that your ancestors made. Keep going.
And you're looking at things back to the Spanish-American War
yes.
that are ties back here. I mean, you're kind of the sleuth in some of this and tracking
yes.
these tidbits of history.
Yeah, and that's been fun. We were talking earlier. I spent about 4 hours yesterday searching. It's a Spanish-American uniform, and I've got it down to a VFW, and I'm trying to really make sure that we can put a person in there. We can tie the uniform to the area. We just need to find the person.
And I hope that folks, as we once again celebrate this 4th of July holiday, our country's 250th anniversary, that they take a moment, stop by the Siouxland Freedom Park and check out those beautiful displays, the Vietnam Wall, and just, you know, that giant flag that hangs overhead and just be reminded freedom isn't free.
That is correct. And dog tags hang in front of that big flag in the window now. So those dog tags belong to somebody that gave that to you.
Yeah. Well, Marty Hogan, thank you for joining us on the Grow Siouxland podcast this morning. Thank you for your insight. Thank you for your service. We greatly appreciate it. And we hope folks hop down to the Siouxland Freedom Park. And to all of you listening today, on behalf of all of us at the Siouxland Chamber, have a wonderful 4th of July and holiday weekend. We'll see you soon.